Hello and welcome to this week's African Media. In the second half of today's program, we will travel to Kenya. The country was for a long time a shining example when it comes to press freedom in East Africa. But according to a new report, things have started to go downhill. I'll talk to the Committee to Protect Journalists, Tom Rhodes, to understand what happened. But first, we'll take a look at Sudan. You might have recently heard about Walid Eldoud Almaki Al Hussein, a Sudanese journalist resident in Saudi Arabia since 2000. Well, that's because the journalist has been held without charges for the past 6 weeks by the Saudi authorities. According to his family, there's even a risk that he could be deported to Sudan, a country with one of the worst records in the world for protecting journalists. Earlier this week, I spoke with Claire Kanschieber at Reporters Without Borders. She explains what Walid was doing in Saudi Arabia.
Walid is a Sudanese journalist who had been living in Saudi Arabia for the past 15 years with a legal visa and the right to be in the country. On 23rd of July, he was arrested and taken to prison. Since then, he's been held without official charges. And recently, he told his wife, who has been able to visit him in prison, that he has been told by the officer in charge of his case that he might be deported to Sudan. So obviously, he's very worried because he's been editing for almost 5 years now a website called Al Rakoba, which publishes international news, but also news linked to Sudan and to the political situation in the country. And so he's afraid if he is to be deported that he would face retaliation and mistreatment in Sudan.
So there's no official charges. Have the authorities, the Saudi authorities, said anything? Have they maybe explained why he was taken into custody?
From my understanding, there was no official statement. The only information we have is the information he has been able to give his wife. He has not been able to see a lawyer. A lawyer has been recruited by his brother to assist him in his case, but the lawyer hasn't had access to the journalist in prison. So there are no official charges as of now that could explain the reasons for his arrest.
Could you explain to our listeners why Walid is so scared and worried over being brought back to Sudan? What's it like to be a journalist in that country?
Well, it's very difficult to be a journalist in Sudan because the level of state control is extremely high and of state violence against journalists is extremely high. In Sudan, the security services are called the NISS, and they have sort of blanket right to do whatever they please. There is even a law that dating from 2010 that officially gives them amnesty for whatever action they might undertake. So they're invested with this tremendous power, and they use it often to control the press, to control journalists, and to intimidate them. A few months back, a record number of 40 newspapers were seized in just one day. And on a daily basis, journalists are being asked to come in for questioning, are being threatened, or being harassed. And so they work under a constant climate of fear.
I find interesting the fact that the authorities there are confiscating entire runs of newspapers. What do you think they are trying to achieve with that strategy?
Two things mostly. Very concretely, they want to avoid the information to get out, so they go to the printers and seize all the newspapers, which avoids the information to get out to the public. But also what happens is that they seize the papers once they've been printed. So of course, by doing that, the editor of the paper bears all the cost of producing the paper but cannot reap any of the benefits of selling the paper. So it's of course a tactic of economic asphyxiation that is being put in place by the government to put the economic constraints on the paper by seizing the already printed editions.
And I'm guessing that leads to a lot of self-censorship from journalists in the country.
Obviously, yes, there is a lot of self-censorship, although people who read the newspapers in Sudan are often surprised by the liberty of tone. But I say that whenever one wants to talk about important issues that are linked to the government, that are linked to the conflict in Darfur or other regions, then the whole weight of the censorship really comes down heavily.
Do you think there's any chance Sudan, the Sudanese authorities, might be behind the arrest of Walid?
I wouldn't want to speculate. Again, the source we have for the reasons of the arrest are mostly what Walid has been given by by his captors. But yes, he has been told that it was at the request of the services of Sudan that he has been arrested in Saudi Arabia. He has broken no law in Saudi Arabia.
This was Claire Kanschreiber with Reporters Without Borders, speaking from Paris to RFI.
RFI, the world at your doorstep.
We turn now to Kenya. As you may know, the country is certainly not the worst when it comes to press freedom in East Africa. It is ranked 100th out of 180 countries in the 2015 Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index. But according to a report published by the Committee to Protect Journalists over the summer, the climate for press freedom is deteriorating in the country. The document paints a bleak picture of the country's media scene. Tom Rhodes, the CPJ's representative in East Africa, explains what's wrong exactly.
When you talk to local journalists on the ground here, they say quite often that they're disappointed with the new government that's come in March 2013 for a number of reasons. I mean, one of the main ones being that series of anti-press laws that the government has attempted to pass to basically silence the press on many different levels. And secondly, we've seen a spike, an increase in the number of attacks on journalists, particularly at the county level, something that we haven't seen in the past to such numbers at all.
What's interesting about the country is that the constitution actually guarantees freedom of the press and freedom of expression.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is what makes it kind of, challenging and sad, really, because, you know, Kenya has, as you say, a robust constitution which protects press freedom quite strongly. Kenya has always been sort of the leading light in East Africa in terms of professional journalism and investigative journalism. I think what a lot of journalists fear is that, you know, we're slowly creeping back to the days of Daniel Arap Moi, when there was essentially no press freedom, because the current administration are proteges of Moi and support a lot of the policies that he implemented during his time.
So if I understand correctly, when you talk about media outlets in Kenya, you do have several different media outlets, but most of them are in the hands of big groups and sometimes even owned by politicians. Is that right?
That, of course, is another problem. We shouldn't really focus all our energies or blame on the central government. There is a lot of political interference and influence, particularly at the county level, and especially in the community radio level. You know, it's kind of staggering when you look at all of these local radios, which on the surface look like kind of local initiatives. When you actually dig deeper, you realize many of them, if not the majority, are owned by politicians and used as a kind of a mouthpiece for their own political platform.
So now you're saying that journalists in the country fear that we could go back to darker times when it comes to press freedom. I'm wondering, why do you think the government is letting things slide that way? Do you think they're willingly just doing it, or they just don't really care about press freedom?
It might be a combination of the two. I mean, you know, the government is under a lot of pressure and a lot of criticism, both locally and internationally, especially in the way they've been handling insecurity, which has been affecting Kenya. But also the reports of rampant corruption, again, quite often at the county level, not in executive level. And it's sort of a knee-jerk reaction to that. I mean, you know, the press is routinely exposed cases of corruption and in particular land grabbing. These politicians are reacting to it. I mean, to give an example, one of the positive things of the 2010 constitution was the devolution of the government. The problem is many of those elected in this administration at the county level don't seem to appreciate or even understand the role of a free press, and they tend to crack down on the media with impunity.
In the report, you wrote a few recommendations to the authorities. What are they exactly?
You know, one of the major ones that we gave to the government was to ensure that all laws that are passed since 2013 comply with the Constitution.
That was CPJ's Tom Rhodes speaking to RFI. And this brings us to the end of this week's African Media with me, Fabien Jeannick Charbonnel. Please do stay with us on RFI.